Greetings again. This is Brother Steve with the Daily Inspiration. So we've been looking at the whole idea of flesh versus spirit, and what is flesh and what is spirit. What does it mean to walk in the spirit, that we should not fulfill the lust of the flesh? We looked at Romans quite a bit. Romans 7 talks about the battle against the flesh and how this Paul bemoans the fact that he just cannot do the things he wants to do. And then at the end, he says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Let me just look that up real quick here. Thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then he goes into Romans 8, and he just starts off with, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And throughout whole Romans 8 there, he talks a lot about this whole idea of walking the Spirit. And so now we're going to go to Galatians. Okay, Galatians is a book that Paul wrote to the Galatians, and it seems like what had happened there is, while they had a glorious beginning and they had a wonderful moving of the Spirit and a spiritual rebirth there in the beginning of Paul's ministry there, but it seems like there was people coming in and trying to persuade them that, yes, it's by the grace of God, and that's all well and good, but you still need to keep the law. You still need to kind of, this is still a part of the salvation of Christ. And Paul came in with some very harsh words trying to confront that. Let's just start reading in Galatians chapter 1 to start off with. Verse 5, 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed. He gives his greeting there in verse 1 to 5. And then 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And so Paul, here we might say, wait a minute, Paul, that's really arrogant of you to say that. You preach this gospel to these Galatians, and now there's people that are coming in and are kind of perverting it or whatever. And you say, if any man preach any other gospel than what you preach, let him be accursed. And he goes as far as saying, if an angel from heaven come and preach another gospel, let him be accursed. So this is very serious matter that Paul is trying to address here. And then what Paul does, he goes into the whole the rest of the chapter there. He gets into trying to prove his own apostleship and prove that he actually does know what he's talking about, that this is not something he dreamed up or whatever, but this is something that he got by revelation of Jesus Christ. And so he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went unto Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other apostles I saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he that, which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Then chapter 2, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and went up by revelation, and committed unto them that gospel which I had preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run, or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately, privilege to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And so here Paul goes to great lengths to try to verify his own message, saying that, you know, I did not, this is not my own idea, and this is not something I've learned from Peter or James or one of them, but, you know, this is something that I received by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. As he says in verse 12 of chapter 1, neither received I it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's trying to make this point that he really did meet Christ, and, you know, whether it was in the backside of the desert there in Arabia or wherever it might be, I'm not sure, but it seems like Paul sometime had some pretty significant revelations, and he talks about it in it might be Corinthians or somewhere, where he talks a little bit, hints a little bit on some of the revelations that he might have seen there. Anyway, they were pretty significant. But what he's trying to bring across here is that, you know, these Judaizers or whoever it was trying to bring the law back in. And it's a very common thing. You know, we start in the spirit and then oftentimes there's a flash in the pan. There's, you know, immediately when somebody gets born again, there's a radical change in their life. You know, sin is eradicated. But it seems like there's always a tendency to, you know, whether it's, you know, remaining sin or whatever, there's issues there that come up and things that are still difficult to deal with. And we tend to want to go back to the law again and just put ourselves under that law or whatever. And here in this case, I believe it was the Judaizers that were bringing them back under the Mosaic law, and especially here saying that they needed to be circumcised according to the law, and all of these things needed to continue to be kept. And Paul was determined to stamp this out, that, you know, why, if you have been begun in the spirit, why do you want to go back to the law? And he also talks about verse 8 of chapter 2, for he that brought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, that same which I also was forward to do. So he gave him, when Paul talked to Peter and James and John afterwards, they confirmed him. They said, yes, that's right. You go preach to the Gentiles. And they said, basically confirmed that, you know, no, we don't have this law to deal with. No, this is, well, we could go back to, Acts chapter 15 is another place where the apostles came together talking about this matter. There was a question about the law there, and there was people that were trying to bring them back under the law. And so there was quite a bit of discussion here, the way it seems, and they all were you know, giving their opinion and whatever. Then Acts chapter 15, Peter gets up and says, verse 10 maybe, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they." Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to make take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, 'After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up.'" Then he gives some more words there, but where I wanted to go to there is verse 20. He gives a few instructions to them. "Wherefore my sentence is," verse 19, "that we trouble not them which from the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they as abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood." And he says basically here, there's a few things. Okay, no, we don't want to put this yoke on you Gentiles, that was on us all these years, that our fathers were not able to bear it, nor were we able to bear it. And why, we don't want to put this yoke on you. But he says there's a few things here that I would want you to keep, and that is pollutions of idols, basically idol worship, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. So they weren't supposed to drink blood. They weren't supposed to eat something that has not been properly bled out. So there was a few things that they were given there that, okay, we agree with Barnabas and Paul here that we're not going to put you under this burden, but here are a few things that you really ought to keep. And then here also in Galatians, he also says, you know, but also remember the poor. So that is, I think that's where I'm going to end for the day. And then we'll pick it up again there in the middle of chapter 2 next time. The Lord bless you. Thank you for listening in.